Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father God, through the spoken word and the written word, may we this evening behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please sit? Well, it's a great honour to be here again and a great privilege to be amongst you, the AMS. We've met this afternoon and we've talked about things about global mission and partnership, and and one of the things we've talked about is how much we value this connection to the college. So it's a great privilege and a great honour to be here. It's good to see Morris again, and we were saying that we were in London having pizza the last time we met, so it's good to be here, the warmth of the welcome. Nicola and I think we may have met, but we did some online stuff, didn't we, during those of you who are old enough to remember the pandemic will realise that that we did some online services, and we did a council for mission, and we did a series of seminars on what was best practice, what ideas we could have, and Nicola was the star of the show, so it's great to be here. Morris mentioned that I spent some years as an RAF chaplain. If you poke an RAF chaplain and say, "What does an RAF chaplain do?" They'll say they serve the whole RAF community through prayer, presence, and proclamation. It's a motto that we know so well, and it's one that speaks of the speaking into the situation and the community in which we lived. Prayer, putting God first, presence, being around, and not being afraid to talk about things that matter to people. I represent today the Intercontinental Church Society, and Morris has graciously said that I can say a few words about them a bit later. We're coming to our 200th anniversary events. We had one in London last year, we've got one in Northern Ireland late next month. So we commissioned somebody to write us a mission strapline. What would be the thing? We've worked with ministry and mission in English for everyone, which basically sums up what we do, but isn't very snappy. So we employed the secular people to come and give us a strap line. And they came back with a fantastic strap line, making Jesus known. The only problem was anybody could own it. It could be any of the societies in the AMS, it could be CITI, it could be the Church of Ireland. It really wasn't much use in actually setting aside ICS as a separate organisation, making Jesus known. But when I thought about that, I thought about this gospel reading. One of my heroes is a man called Charles Simeon. Charles Simeon was born in 1759 and died in 1836. He was a minister for most of that life at a Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge. He'd gone up from an aristocratic family to Cambridge as a young man, and at the age of 23, he had been appointed to Holy Trinity. against the wishes of the church wardens and the rest of the church. So much so that they made his life very difficult. They had wanted the curate to become the rector, and so they worked to try and get Charles Simeon out and this curate in. To the point that when Charles Simeon was instituted, they organised that the curate would have an evening service of their own. And they locked the doors to stop Charles Simeon, and they locked the box pews, and for over 10 years, this story went on as the church and him were at loggerheads. And where many of us, I suspect, if we'd come against that sort of opposition, would have said, you know what, that's maybe not the ministry opportunity for me. Maybe God has some other fruitful place for me. I'll shake my feet and go. He stuck it out for 53 years, so that when he died, the town, Cambridge, the city, came to a standstill. But why is he a hero of mine? Not other than he was pig-headed, but that he made a lasting influence on many people. So we've got the church, a mission to Jewish people on AMS. Charles Simeon was one of the founder members of that society. We've got CMS Ireland here, and the original CMS in England. Charles Simeon was one of the founders of the church mission society. The Intercontinental Church Society is responsible for finding ministers to go and speak and serve in English-speaking congregations overseas. Charles Simeon was active in finding English-speaking ministers to go over to places like India, Mumbai or Bombay, to serve English congregations over there. He was also instrumental in teaching young undergraduates, started setting up theological colleges in his Cambridge College, and finding churches for them where they could have a productive and good ministry. So he had a real effect both at home and in his church and his city, but also in the wider church, worldwide, global and local. And many of our mission agencies have their roots back to the work that he started or developed from him. But why is he a hero to mine? Because carved into his pulpit, he had these words that nobody else could see that come from our gospel reading today, where we read that the Greeks came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." His plan was that whenever he spoke, the thing that he lifted up, the one that he wanted, was to make Jesus known. To remember the inquiry that the Greeks made to Philip, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Remember, here we are, we're just after the triumphal entry. Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem on the donkey. The crowds have cast their palms and their coats before him. They cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And then it's gone quiet before the events of Maundy Thursday, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet, where he institutes the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, and then he goes out with his friends to the garden, and there he is in prayer. He is betrayed and arrested. He is taken away and he is tried. He is beaten and scourged, forced to carry his cross. And there, nailed to that cross, he dies with his arms open wide for you and for me. And at the start of that week, these Greeks, God-fearing Gentiles who follow the way and are interested in things of God, think about the centurion whose soldier was here. Think about Cornelius in Acts. People that wanted to understand the ways of God, but couldn't because they were Gentiles. And remember, there was a sign outside the temple that said, you know, any Gentile that goes beyond this point has only themselves to blame for their death. So these people who couldn't get to God, they come to Philip and they say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip's an interesting character. Philip is sort of one of those diffident people, so he's looking for somebody to help him. You've come across Philip in the sermon on when we get to the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus says to the disciples, "Right, we better feed them, go and get some food." And it's Philip that says, "You know what, 8 months' wages wouldn't do this." He's been sitting there with his back of his envelope for calculations, working out just how much food these 5,000 people would need. And this time he comes to see, and they come to Philip, who takes them to Andrew, as Andrew and Philip take them to Jesus. Andrew's another interesting character. friend of mine says that every family should have an Andrew. We meet Andrew twice, don't we? Both times he's bringing people to Jesus. He brings his brother and two of their friends to Jesus. And here we see him bringing the Greeks to Jesus, making Jesus known. That's what's happening here. Sir, we want to see Jesus. So they take him to Jesus. And Jesus, in effect, doesn't say anything to the Greeks. He doesn't tell them about himself or what he's come to do, but actually talks to everyone else. He talks to them and to other people. And he gives them three pictures. Picture of the hour has come. The grain must die, and the sun must be, the sun has come to serve and not be served. The hour has come. If you remember this year, we're following Mark's Gospel through the Mark's Gospel, and right at the start of Mark's Gospel, we get Jesus' manifesto, don't we? The hour, time has come, the kingdom of God has drawn near, repent and believe. All that has been building up has come to this point, the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. Now, with laser-like precision, we're moving into the hour. So it's not just the time, but now is the hour. This week is the week of all weeks. It is this week where life changes, where God breaks in a really way, but through the death of his Son, makes it possible for you and me to be reconciled to him. And so what does Jesus say when Philip and Andrew were the Greeks to all those there? He says, now is the time. We've had the triumphal entry, but now, as we look towards the events of Holy Week and the events of Maundy Thursday and Friday and Easter Day, now is the time, and it is by this week that God will be glorified, that Jesus will be made known. And so as I say to you, as you start your ministries and you're thinking about what God might be doing with you in the next stages of your life, this is the hour that is central to it. This is why Simeon put that, sir, we want to see Jesus. This is why we are making Jesus known, because it's this hour that is the focal point of all. How is it? Well, it remains like, it's like a grain dying and then growing. If you, for Mothering Sunday this year, we were very fortunate. Two of my boys remembered that it was Mothering Sunday. This is the first time in 30 years that they've taken part. And one of them said a comment, they've both got girlfriends, so it might have something to do with that. And one of them said, had a card, had a piece of felt with some seeds in it. And the thing is, you take that out, you put them down, you water them, and you get your flowers that way. Pretty nice. But if you don't put the water in, you just put the card down, forget about it, as we're likely to do, then nothing happens. You don't get the flowers, you don't see what the seeds are going to become. And Jesus says here, doesn't he, that the grain, he has to die so that we might have life and life in all its forms. My Lenten reading is on the Transfiguration, where we catch a glimpse of glory. And it is about how this life is not all there is. There is so much more to come. And Jesus says, by dying for the grain, it sprouts and brings life to others. And how is that life seen? In the life of service. The RF Chaplain's motto, as opposed to its strapline, is to serve and not be served. Why? Because we follow the one who serves and not be served and gives their life as a ransom for many. And as you step out in faith, and as you think about where God might take you, whether that's in this island or in other places, whether it's in local church ministry or in a sector ministry, I'd encourage you to continue to make plain that you want to make Jesus known. And to serve the one who died for us so that we might have life, and who came at that time. So where are we at? The hour has come. The grain has to die. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. So here we are. Service before self. That's what we're called to do. To put Jesus first, others second, and ourselves, as we used to teach Sunday school, to have joy in our hearts. To think about how we might take up our cross, follow Jesus, and to know what it is. That's why these verses are so special to me. Sir, we want to see Jesus, because for us that know Jesus, we should want to make him known to others. Jesus who was glorified on the cross, who died to bring life, and is an example for us to follow.
Let's pray.
Father, we thank you that the hour has come and that Jesus died for us. We thank you as we make our journey towards, through Holy Week and towards Good Friday and Easter, that we know that this was your plan from before the beginning of time, and that you are glorified through the death of your Son. Help us to revel in that and to follow his example by dying to self and serving others. Help us to remember the words of the Greeks, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Help us to be people who make Jesus known. In his name we pray.
Amen.
We stand now at the front.